you have to step it up and you have to go to the parents and say, look, something's up with this kid. I don't know if it's if something's going on at school or at home and it's carrying over onto the ice, but you need to be aware that something's going on and it's affecting the child's, you know, participation on the ice during practices, and it's also affecting their participation on the ice during games.
Welcome to the Super Sports Mom Podcast, a place for all moms of many and mighty athletes to get support and insights into the world of sports. This is your place to learn, grow, and laugh. I am a sports dietitian, former elite athlete, and newbie sports mom, inviting you to adventure together. This podcast is sponsored by Eat This for Performance, the home of champions. Welcome, welcome to episode 11. Yes, we're already at episode 11. Unbelievable. Our brand new podcast is being worked in. So hopefully I'm getting better at interviewing, and I think I am because this was an amazing one. I really enjoyed listening to what Christine has to share with us. Christine is one of our super sports moms in our Hockey Champion Sports Nutrition membership, and we've just been watching her develop throughout the past months as she's been sharing with us some insights into her world of performance eating with her two young hockey players, age 10 and 7, and we've been delighted by what we've seen. And it probably had something to do with her background because we are talking with a scientist here. Christine describes herself as a scientist turned educator and 100% hockey mom. And she actually has a PhD in neuroscience with a focus on ingestive behavior. So we're talking about the deeper inner workings of our brain and eating. And I could have talked with her for hours because I'm a science geek, but I saved you the science geek talk and I delved into probably what is going to fascinate in terms of being in the thick of things as a sports mom. And I'll share with you a couple of things we talked about. One is how she effectively can be in two places at once. There is a special tool that she has that I think you'll want to know about. And I would argue actually that she was in three places at once. You'll have to dig into that one and see if you agree with me, because she does have three dogs at home as well. And so she has definitely a juggling act when her two hockey players have a tournament on the same weekend in different places. Then we also talked about what I introed. I gave you a little snippet at the intro. What we wish coaches would do better. And we know that coaches work their butts off to, you know, and they volunteer often. Parents are often the coaches. We know it is not an easy place to be. And we want you to feel supported. And that is why we're having this conversation. So we're talking about things that you could be doing better, coaches. And it's all in the name of let's work together to be excellent. So without too much more talk, I'm going to let you listen to this interview because it went for about half an hour, but it is worth it. And I really, really enjoyed what Christine had to share. So let's get into it and enjoy your Super Sports Mom podcast. All right. Well, welcome, Christine, to the Super Sports Mom podcast. It is really a pleasure to have you. You've been, you know, inspirational to watch throughout the months in our Hockey Champions program, our sports nutrition membership. And I would love to introduce the Super Sports moms that follow us to you. So would you tell us a bit about, you know, your amazing background that just floored me, and your family? Like, where are you at? What's going on at home?
Well, first, thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate, and I'm very honored that you have me on here. I am very happy that I found your book last summer. And it's been quite a game changer, pardon the pun, for both of my kids as well as for our family, because it's really given us a way to focus our nutrition. Before that, it was really just all over the place. It was very haphazard. So this was a great way for us to understand how to do sports nutrition, even though our kids are very young. So Our family is, we got four people in the family. We got me, my husband, and the two kids, Nico and Anya. They are 9 and 7 years old, respectively. And then we've got three cool little dogs. Let's see, we've got Bo, who is the oldest. He's a Basenji. Then we've got Mr. Sparkles, who is a rat terrier. And then we have Otto, who is some bizarre mixture of dogs, and he likes to run away a lot. So, you know, he's a free explorer. Otto is our son, our oldest son's running partner. So if our son doesn't get the exercise that he needs in the week, then he goes and takes Otto for, you know, a mile or two run. So,
oh, that's great. Built-in personal trainer.
Yeah, exactly. They train each other. So, the other two dogs really just sleep all day. Even though Mr. Sparkles is a terrier, he doesn't really terrorize anybody very much. He really just looks for somebody to keep him warm. So we live in New England, where it's cold, but not too cold for us. And we like it. Both kids play hockey. They've been playing, let's see, Nico has been playing since he was 6, so about 3 years. And Anya, she's been trying to play, she's 7. She's been trying to play since she was about 4.5, 5 years old. But every time she kind of tries to get going with playing hockey and doing learn to skate, a bone breaks on playgrounds. So she has hurdles to overcome in a way. So this has been her second year playing travel hockey, and there haven't been any incidences. So that's really good.
Oh, good. Good for her. Bone breaks are not fun.
Yeah, no kidding. So she's developing quite well, and so is Nico. As for my background, I have my PhD in neuroscience with an emphasis on ingestive behavior and looking at the neuropharmacology of how rats control in their food intake, basically what motivates them to go and start eating versus when do they stop eating, what are the neural control mechanisms underlying that. And that's partially what got me, or keeps me interested in nutrition, is because I understand how the micronutrients are sensed by the brain and what really underlies the cravings that the brain senses. Why do we get a craving for red meat, for instance, or dark green leafy vegetables versus ice cream, for instance? Why do we have those differential cravings? I think I touched on everything, right?
Yeah, well, the stuff that you're telling me that you did in the research with back with the rats and some of the stem cell research, I thought was really mm-hmm. fascinating. So we could probably have a 2-hour conversation about that. We may bore a few people. I think those are the dogs saying hi. Huh?
Yeah, those are the dogs telling me that the kids are coming home.
While we have you, I would love you to go into some detail on what it is that has come up lately that you felt was potentially a struggle. And I know that, you know, we all have different struggles throughout the season and throughout different parts of the season, the off season even. But I know this is something that moms and parents struggle with quite often. And it has to do with your, you know, needing to be in maybe more than one place at once.
Right. The biggest struggle really has been time management. I do consider myself to be not an expert at time management, but fairly good at it. I remember listening to Joanne's podcast and I was like, wow, she's really good at that too. So I feel kind of put to shame on that one, justifiably put to shame.
Oh my goodness, no.
She was really good at it. But for different reasons, I feel like we're pretty good at it. But when it comes to tournaments, for instance, only one parent can go because we do have the three dogs. Boarding and kenneling the dogs is almost out of the question. For us to board three dogs for 4 days is, I think we calculated this out once, would be anywhere from $800 to $1,000 US dollars. And when you're you know, I know that hockey is an expensive sport, and I know that, you know, going to tournaments is a nice luxury, but for two kids, it's a lot. And so it's keeping things simple is the best way to get this thing going. So we have the luxury of having two parents. I know some people are single parents. So we opt to just have one parent stay at home and watch the dogs, stay with the dogs, take care of things at home while the other parent takes the kids to the tournament, or stays overnight someplace if there's an overnight game far away, or two games, I should say, a game on Saturday, a game on Sunday. And that even then is a struggle because you've got two kids who are playing in the same tournament. Sometimes their games are overlapping. In this most recent tournament, I had my daughter playing all four or five of her games in one rink. My son played his four games in three different rinks. Oh. And the rinks were anywhere from 9 to 20 minutes apart. So when his or her games were at the same time, I really had to plan when did I need to drop off one kid, leave them alone, make sure that they knew what locker room they were in, what rink they were playing in, what time they were playing at, leave them alone and go bring the other kid to the other rink, get them ready for their game, sit there, watch their game, hope that the first kid played well, was able to get undressed, take his stuff, and then just sit by the snack bar until I could pick him up. Mm-hmm. So that was challenging, but luckily in that situation, there were some hockey moms who stepped up, and I was very thankful for this, that said, hey, look, I'll pick him up and I'll take him to the hotel or I'll bring him to your rink. And, you know, I had to say, yes, I said, look, yeah, I would thank you for that. I'm really appreciative for that, mm-hmm. because we need to help each other out. And what I did as well is I actually bought a subscription to Live Barn so that I could watch his game while my daughter was playing. I watched the whole first period of his game while she was getting dressed. So I had other kids watching the Live Barn game, so they were really excited to watch their older counterparts playing a game while they were getting dressed. So that's one way that I kind of manage, but it's a lot of list making. It's a lot of almost OCD spreadsheet making and making sure that I got everything right and I'm not confusing one kid's schedule with the other kid's schedule. Mm-hmm. So that's...
Well, it's a lot. That's
yeah,
a lot.
It's neurotic. It's very neurotic.
Yeah, so. I can definitely sympathize with the scheduling of you know, having two kids in two different places. The thought that came to my mind when you mentioned that app, I said, mm-hmm. wow, technology is really giving us this advantage we never had before. Like yes. I went to prep school in Connecticut, actually, maybe not too far. it was far from my parents. I'm from rural Quebec. And mm-hmm. so they had to drive 7 hours if they wanted to watch me play a hockey game. And this, they did a couple times. They really like a couple times, like a season, they would come up and do like a crazy, you know, there's two other kids at home and they would come for a hockey game. And I'm thinking, wow. like, how many hockey games did my dad miss that if we could have had like a, you know, a parent with the phone on in the stands, right. it would have just died for that. So, you know, that's it's great. I'm really glad that that stuff exists. And I didn't even know it existed now. I mean, I guess it makes sense. So I'm sure there's some parents that'll be like, okay, what is that app again? You want to mention it again?
Right. So Live Barn, not all yeah. rinks have this. So some rinks have cameras that are up in the stands and they're just like security cameras basically. And they have that little round half circle that protects them. And most people think that they're security cameras. And for all I know, maybe they double as a security camera. But the rinks that have them, if you look across the ice, you'll see this flashing red laser beam basically. And what it does is the laser beam detects where on the ice there's action, where there's movement, and the camera will then follow where that movement is. And the camera then transmits to this website, livebarn.com. And if you buy a subscription, you can buy one of two subscriptions. I think one is $15, the other one is $25. And depending on which one you get, you can do different things. So some coaches use this to do chalk talks with their players. Some parents use it to download and help their kids watch what they did in that game so that they can do coaching at home, things like that. And in my case, I used it to watch my kid play a hockey game so that I could be in, literally or figuratively, I could be in two places at once. And I did buy, well, in each case, you can rewind and watch the game that you've missed. So even now I could take my phone and I could watch the games from last weekend. It's not perfect because it doesn't always, because there is some lag time that doesn't always catch what's going on, where the puck is, if there's a fast play going on. But there was, for instance, one play where my daughter, she's a 2011, but she's playing on a 2010 team. So she's a little bit small, and some of the kids who are 2010s are enormous. She stayed back on defense and she blocked a breakaway, or she helped to deter a breakaway and allowed her goalie time to set up and catch the shot. And Live Barn was able to catch just enough of it so that when I came home, I was able to pull it up on the smart TV and show my husband, like, hey, look what our daughter did. Like, this is so cool. And then in another play later in the third period, she blocks a shot with her skate and you can actually hear the puck ping off of her skate. And it's so cool. It's so awesome to be able to come home to the parent who missed everything and say, hey, look, watch parts of these 9 or 10 games that you watched, that you missed. Look how our kids did. And mm-hmm. So that's really fun. So I understand what you're saying about how your parents missed all these games. Mm-hmm. And now there's all this technology where you can bring it back home and share it. You know, it's different, but they still get to enjoy it. So it's cool. It's neat.
I love that. And it's only going to get better. Right. Yeah. And that's something that we have to look forward to. And, you know, what will sport look like in another 30, 40 years? I'm like, yeah, really curious. Mm-hmm. So that's, I know that, you know, there are going to be some parents who are going to feel that for sure. And there's something else that we discussed that is, it goes along with, you know, our talk about what we could be doing better, as parents, as players, but, you know, we want to also extend sometimes to coaches, because I know that there are frustrations with coaches. I heard of a crazy story that happened last week about a big brawl breaking out in the stands amongst wow. parents. And we linked it back in this coaching certification that I'm doing to, you know what, the coaches have a responsibility to train the parents. And there's some kind of responsibility, and I say to train the parents in the nicest way, like that the parents should be involved in the, like in what the coach is doing. So it's like, it goes both ways. The coaches and the parents need to have a better discussion about what's going on. Maybe then there wouldn't be this disconnect between, you know, what parents are saying in the stands or what their frustrations are, and then that getting out of hand between, you know, parents in the stands. Because there's this feeling like parents are like coaching at some points from the stands in at least in hockey. I know in other sports as well. And it can get out of hand when like one parent overhears another parent saying right. something about another player. Anyways, that's a whole other topic. I didn't even mean to go too deep into that one. I'm sure you could spend a long time on parents in the stands.
No, I hear this all the time in the Boston Hockey League. I think that happened recently in a game in New Jersey too. Parents, I mean, it's never happened at our team with our team, but it's bananas. I don't understand it. I understand where there can be some jealousy and some animosity between parents within your organization, between organizations, but you got to let it go. I mean, these are kids. They're 9 years. In my case, these are 9-year-olds. You know, they're not competing for a scholarship right now. They are meant to be developing. And I think that sometimes coaches are also losing sight of this. And some coaches are really their goal is really to win, and it's win, 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 win. And I don't know if that's the coach's ego or if it's because they're trying to develop their own kid for their kid's own goal or what it is, but they're losing sight of the fact that these are 9-year-olds that need to develop skills and develop emotional maturity. They need to develop self-confidence. And if you're crushing them at the age of 9, they're going to lose the love of the game. They're going to lose confidence in adult role models like coaches. So even when they go, if they were to go to a different sport like baseball or lacrosse or swimming or anything, they might look at those coaches skeptically or cynically and not trust them anymore. So by not looking at this developmental model, you know, you're really harming a child's psychology. And I'm by no way a child psychologist or any type of psychologist, but you really are setting a kid up for bad times if you're really focusing on winning all the time at these young ages. I mean, if a kid is good, he's going to be good or she is going to be good, and you can foster that, that's fine. But if the emphasis is always on winning, man, you're going to burn that kid out really quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's definitely words of wisdom. And for coaches, and I believe that when we work at being good coaches, mm-hmm. then we, and you will know this, so one of the things we didn't go into is your teaching background. Mm-hmm. And I think that teaching and coaching is, you know, it's similar, you're coaching in both mm-hmm. ways. And you know, as a teacher, you always have to work on what your knowledge base is and how you teach and reaching the kids that you're working with and or the people that you're working with, and nothing truer in coaching. So the coaches that I see working on themselves are the ones who are really having these great strides, not just on the scoreboard, but right. in having teams that really are fun to be around. They're having right. fun, and the parents are having fun. So right. when I say like the coach has a responsibility to be working with the parents and informing the parents and then telling them how they're coaching their own, you know, their children.
Right.
So what, if there's one thing you wish coaches would do differently, so this is your time. what do you wish coaches would do differently?
I think communication, I think you hit the nail on the head with that one. I think communication is really important. If one thing is if parents don't know what you're doing with what your goal is, then it kind of looks haphazard from day to day, from week to week. It also kind of looks maybe like you don't care that much, or maybe like you don't know what you're doing. So there's less faith in you as a coach from the parent's perspective. I recognize that many of these coaches are volunteers, but at the same time, they also accepted the charge. You know, you've got 12 to 15 kids that are your responsibility for, you know, up to 90 minutes, 2 to 3 to 4 times a week, plus the games. So you accepted that responsibility. So you have to do the things that go along with those responsibilities. So keeping parents up to date with, you know, how things are going with the team is important. Along with that, if there is a problem, for instance, with one child's performance, their behavior, their progress, anything that's isolated to one child in particular, you have to step it up and you have to go to the parents and say, look, something's up with this kid. I don't know if if something's going on at school or at home and it's carrying over onto the ice, but you need to be aware that something's going on. And it's affecting the child's, you know, participation on the ice during practices. And it's also affecting their participation on the ice during games. If that's not happening, that means that A, the coaches may not care, and or B, they're not aware of it because they're not analyzing the situation. If they're not analyzing the situation, then maybe they're not introspective enough of their own skills as a coach. And I think you kind of mentioned this as well. You have to analyze your skills as well as a coach. and you have to go to these coaches training sessions and fill in the gaps. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how much of this is required. Like I said, I'm not a coach, but I am an educator, and I do have to go to professional development seminars and things like that, both for educational philosophy and things like that, but also for what I teach. I can't just continue going on teaching anatomy and physiology without learning the things that have been learned about anatomy and physiology.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what I wish coaches would focus on. I wish they would be a little bit more introspective and analytical about what they're doing on the ice, and that they would communicate better about the team, about their goals. And like I said, if there's issues on the ice, that they would just, you know, don't be a coward about approaching it. Just face it head on and deal with it. Don't be afraid that the parent's going to go after you, because if you have a legitimate point, parents shouldn't be afraid to deal with it. They shouldn't get upset about it.
Right. Yeah, it's the communication piece is huge, and there's so many ways now, again, with technology,
mm-hmm.
that coaches can communicate. We talked about this in a coaches training I'm doing just today. We were talking about that, you know, these programs like Zoom and FaceTime, and, you know, there's certain programs that can record, so you can have a message that's sitting there recorded in case you can't, you know, deliver a live message, and people can just be in their homes, not necessarily right. having to meet at a rink and exactly. find that extra time. So
that's a great point. I mean, you could do an online chalk talk. That's
mm-hmm.
everybody could be sitting at home. You're absolutely right. That's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. There's like, that's it. It's like, there's leveraging, you know, what's already available and at our fingertips, and getting, it's just like getting the culture to evolve mm-hmm. and I'd say change, like evolve, because we're evolving, you know, in every other way, right, as a society. So the sports world like can definitely stand to evolve as well, just to really give our kids, I think, a nice experience, not to feel right. like, you know, they're getting the girls, it's the I think the worst, right, where they get to 13, 14 years old and disengage from sports. That's like the big thing we see is a lot of girls and boys too, but I know there's a lot of movement to support, you know, girls to stay in sports.
Right. In my profession, it's STEM, science, technology, engineering, math. Girls check out around the same age, 11 to 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
They disengage from those career or from those fields. And we don't, without going into much depth, we don't really totally understand why. We think we know. So there's a big push for that. So it's good to hear that there's the same kind of push in the sports world, because that's right around the same time that I left competitive sports. I stayed with the one that I played the longest, which was tennis, and I ended up becoming a 4-year varsity athlete in tennis.
Oh, wow.
And we went to states, we won states. That was fun.
Oh, wow.
But I was an Olympic development athlete for soccer, for goalkeeper. And If I could go back, I might have stayed with soccer, because I was, you know, not to toot my own horn here, but I was good at that. And I have a knack for that kind of defensiveness, and my son does too. So I understand why he's struggling right now, having been moved to an offensive position. It's just a very different psychology. It's a different mentality. Mm-hmm. I don't know why girls get pushed away from sports like that. And then for me, that was 20 something years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very, very different time to be playing that kind of high level competitive sport. So if you really weren't supported, you know, if you didn't have many, many support networks at home with people who really knew what competitive sports were, you were pretty much done for, mm-hmm. which is effectively what happened with me. You know, my parents had no idea. I'm first generation American. My parents had no idea what to do, how to do it. It was just, oh, you're talented. Okay, let's go. All right. Well, you don't, you know, that's it. All right. Let's go back into school. You know, that's what it was for me.
Well, even there are like Americans who have been, and Canadians and like, you know, Europeans, they've been, you know, there for a while and don't have an idea. Their kids are entering potentially the sporting world. They like the idea. Mm-hmm. What would you say to these parents that don't have an idea? You know, that you got to experience, like, what would you say the value is that you got out of being in sport, and like that nostalgia of like, okay, like, why didn't I stick with soccer? Like, what words of wisdom would you give us?
What would I give to the parents, or what would I say to the kid?
Well, you can talk to either. I think a lot of like moms might be listening, but you know, I hope that the moms have turned up the volume in the car.
Well, maybe I should address both. If you were a 12-year-old girl or a 13-year-old girl, don't listen to what anybody else says. Like, don't listen to the negative people, and just go and have fun. If you have fun, just, you know, hitting the ice and getting, you know, sweaty and nasty and, you know, checking the boys into the boards, or in my case, it was, you know, just screaming on the grassy fields, you know, helping your forwards, helping your defensemen, and just have fun. It's going to be hard work. It's no doubt. It's going to be running a lot of miles, and some days you're not going to want to get up, and it's okay. That's the part that I think nobody recognizes. And that might be a good part for the parents too. Some days you just got to let them take maybe even just a whole week off and do nothing. And beyond just do nothing, don't even talk about the sport. Don't mention the word hockey. Just let them be a human being that is not an athlete. Let them maybe have, I don't even know what did my kids have this week that wasn't even an eat for performance thing. We made Rice Krispie treats with the healthiest ingredients possible. But we let them just be kids. Because they came back from that tournament just completely burned out and mentally exhausted. So we, luckily, 3 or 4 of their practices this week just by accident got canceled. And we decided that we weren't even going to mention this 6-letter word. And something happened with them. They turned around. They have a newly reignited passion for it. So that would be my advice to both generations, both the kids and the parents, the moms. Sometimes you really just got to pull back and just forget that they're elite level, or, you know, tier 1 through 4, or even house level, working really hard towards making travel. Just step back and remember that it's just a sport, and just make sure that they're still having fun. Some days they'll just say, like, they'll insist, yeah, I'm having fun. Yeah, I really want to play. But just sometimes let them just have a few extended days where they just don't need to play at that top level, and let them be kids.
That's great. I think definitely powerful words and inspirational for all of us coming up and knowing that these times will come, that they'll be the busy and we'll need to ebb and flow. And this, I mean, is definitely a hot topic on my mind, the rejuvenate piece, as we've been talking a lot about that. Yeah. About the importance of the rejuvenate period. Right.
I think that goes for coaches too. I think coaches need to realize too, when they've been pushing really hard, that right around this time of year, maybe even in February, kids are going to start kind of dropping off, even if they're not sick. And the same thing happens in school. You know, you have a kid who never misses a single day, and then all of a sudden is out a day or two every couple of weeks, because it's just burnout. They need that time. You know, they call it in school, and in every school level, they call it mental health days. There's no reason why an athlete wouldn't need the same thing, to just, like you say, rejuvenate from those 6 days a week of practice and games. That's exhausting for anybody, much less a little kid who's growing. Mm-hmm. So I hope the coaches understand this when kids need a break, especially if they're treating every kid the same instead of differentiating their instruction.
Mm. Yes, like we should be. Well, yes. I mean, it's been a pleasure. I do want to say, like, I think we'll end on that note where let's make sure we're getting in that rejuvenation time. And, as a,
as we know, it's important to kind of come together as parents and as coaches and as players, like to meet each other where we're at. So that's, you know, when, whether it's a period of hustle or a period of rest, that we're all communicating and talking. So thank you so much for sharing all these words of wisdom.
Thank you very, very much. And like I said, I really appreciate all the work you do on the various different groups. And I love the webpage. I absolutely love the interaction. All the work you do is fantastic.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that a ton.
Thank you for listening to the Super Sports Mom podcast this time. My wish is that you feel more empowered than ever to live your dream sports life. If you get inspired from this message, amazing. Share it with a friend and pass that inspiration along. I can't wait to share the next adventure with you. See you next time.
Hey, does getting the right food in front of you at the right time seem a little daunting sometimes? Well, a lot of times. You're not alone, and that is why here at Eat This for Performance, we are making people's lives easier by taking out all of the guesswork from performance eating for all of the situations you may be in, eating out, eating in, at the grocery store, or just looking at that food down on your plate, wondering if that is the right thing to be eating. So we have something that we'd like to give you. That is our performance eating foods list. If you hop on over to et4p.com, you can grab our food list and start going right away at eating the performance foods that you want to eat. Once you have the food list, you'll be well on your way to digging into our four-part framework and really starting to become a confident athlete or a confident parent in your food selections. So have a look. And definitely reach out to us if you have any questions whatsoever. We're here cheering you on as you eat for that top performance in sport and in life.